shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome.
That was close.
That was very, very close.
You were making me nervous.
Don't worry, Kristen, it just happens all the time. Get
myself
used to it.
Well, actually, I was in my office and I was printing out the Litany to the Holy Spirit, and I heard the music.
The music. You
know, so my office is
right above
the studio.
See, I walked in thinking I was late. I'm closing the door already, and you're not even here.
Yeah, Tony looks at me. He's like, "Father's not here. Oh no."
My problem is there's just so much going on. And I know I'm beating a dead horse when I say that because it's...
But it's the reality.
I guess it's politically probably incorrect to say beating a dead horse,
He's used
right?
to it.
I don't even know.
He's used to it, yeah. Of course.
Well, I don't know where that even comes from, you know, so... But so trying to... Anyway, well, we had the Ascension yesterday. We're going to celebrate again on Sunday. And so today, by the way, how are you guys doing?
Yeah. Right here, it's Friday.
Yeah. I told your wife that the other night at the meeting that I always ask Tony
how's he doing.
And
she's used to it.
Yes, she concurred with me.
Yeah, that's right. It's always right.
So let's do pray. And we're going to pray because so this is where we get which is very popular in Catholic spirituality is this whole concept of the novena, 9 days of prayer. It all comes from these 9 days from the Ascension to Pentecost, to the Feast of Pentecost, when as we were speaking about this yesterday. So the when Jesus ascended to the Father, the apostles and the disciples were befuddled and disoriented and confused, you know, because in the presence of Christ, he was the glue that held them together. And now all of a sudden in his absence, and they haven't yet been infused with the Holy Spirit, they're seemingly lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do? They went to pray. Thank you, Jasmine. I was late getting my. That's I couldn't even. Even
I'm back now. That's how you know.
I'm
there you
back.
Go. Thank you. Yeah. My coffee. I always. You see this. I tell the people at the end of the 12 o'clock Mass, they may. Un tiempecito por mi cafecito chiquitito. Right?
Does that make sense? Coffee. A little time for my little coffee.
Little coffee.
But cafecito chiquitito, cafecito. No? It's like a little coffee.
Little coffee.
Little coffee, right?
Little tiny coffee.
Can you do this in Spanish? Can you say, like chiquitito, cafecito chiquitito? Can you keep adding those T's? Chiquitito?
Chiquititito.
Chiquititito. So a little tiny.
Little
so it would,
tiny.
It would be the difference between little and tiny,
tiny.
No?
Right.
Or you could even put both, little tiny.
Little tiny.
Cafecitito.
Cafecitito, chiquititito. Tiempecitito. Deme, which means give me.
Give me.
Deme un tiempecitito. A little tiny bit of a tiny, tiny time. Deme. Tiempecitito, which is really tiny.
You could do that. It's just playing words.
It's a playing words,
yeah.
My head is spinning now.
Right?
Just trying to follow.
I like the Spanish for that reason. So I you see this. So you people don't see it, but Tony and Christina see it. Mm-hmm. So it's so I always ask at the end of the 12 o'clock mass before I go to the funeral. Before I go, we're dealing with so much death these days. It's just, you know, before I we just lost the regular.
Long-time parishioner.
Well, long time from the very time he was born, Tyrone Bohoshinsky. But he's a crazy Tyrone, we call him, you know, and he's got a name for everybody.
Yes, but he has. That was the way he could remember people's names, was by giving them a name. Right.
So he was a regular here at the parish. He has his little office downstairs, his workshop, and he would polish the candlesticks, and it was just always doing something, you know. And Sunday night, he would be the one to come in and gather the money and get it ready for the in the vault for the
Monday crew. Yeah,
the crew that was the ultimate altar boy too.
He was the he was the ultimate altar boy.
Yes,
you're right.
The oldest one.
The oldest one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And he died suddenly on Wednesday.
I think it was
Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. I thought of when I came in.
Tuesday. I found out Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah. That's when I remember.
So. He would have been here because Fridays he was usually here.
He was here every day.
Every day.
He came in
every
day.
Of course, I'm not here. So
I would see him. Fridays, I would always see him with the van.
Yeah,
the van. He would be here every day.
He was a retired U.S. Marine.
Like Nick said, which was really funny, and it's just the way, that's what we say, Crazy Tyrone, affectionately, because even when I put the word out, Nick, because of course Nick saw him every day too, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, we would butt heads, but, right?
But if you butt head heads with him,
everybody
that was
would
a good
butt
thing.
Heads with Tyrone.
Yeah,
you know?
That was actually a good thing.
Yeah. But he and you know, the funny thing is he would say, sometimes. It's not all the time. Nick said sometimes, it's just you have to know Tyrone. He was a character. We say we're a cast of characters.
Yes. Now.
But he would tell me, Tony, I remember when you were just a small kid, you know, a seminarian, and you had, you know, red hair, and you were working over here, and I don't remember ever having red hair. First of all,
he must have been colorblind or something.
And then he said, and I used to see Joe, your father, over there on Division Street, as he was going to Holy Trinity and all that. I know.
He's probably dreaming or something.
The point was that, okay, you knew my father. You knew me, but he was funny.
Talking about the nicknames, you know what name he had for you? It's not a bad name.
For who?
For you.
No, what?
Father the Great.
Oh, Father the Great.
He called you Father the Great, and Tony was Tony Nobiloni.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And what about you? Lupe. What was Lupe?
Lupe, because he couldn't say, he couldn't say Guadalupe, because I tried to teach it. He called her Waterloo.
Oh, Waterloo, that's right.
Waterloo.
I was trying to think about that, and she told me Cucaracha. La Cucaracha.
La Cucaracha. Then my dad, he called him Uncle Mike because he reminded him of his Uncle Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lorenzo was Lawrence of Arabia.
That's right.
Len was Ching Chong China Man.
That's what I was trying to remember. We called that.
it was funny.
He was a that's character. No, he called me correct. By my name.
Yeah.
Chris. Sometimes they call me Chris.
So I have to tell you, while we're talking about him, because he died suddenly and unexpectedly, and I found out the day after he died at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. And we wondered why he wasn't here, you know, and Jasmine tried to call him. And then Sylvia said, I think he said he had a doctor's appointment. But we saw him Monday. He popped in the office because he was all over the place. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he had his own little office down here, workshop. But I had to go out. It was Monday to pick up some stuff. And I came back and I thought, his van wasn't there, and I thought, well, that's
odd.
I kind of missed Tyrone today. And then I thought, no, but then didn't he? We see him. He kind of popped into the office. I was talking to Jasmine and Sylvia, and we determined later that in fact he was here on Monday, but Tuesday he didn't come in, and I was too busy to even notice because Tuesdays I have appointments in the afternoon . And so it was a packed day, as they always are. And so I didn't notice that he wasn't here. But Jasmine had this premonition, and she asked Sylvia, and Sylvia said, "No, I think he's got a doctor's appointment." And she said, "Okay." Well, she had tried to call him again, but he never answered the phone.
But there was a code when you would call him too.
Is that right?
He not always answered. You have to call him after you would hang up. After two or three rings, and then you would call again, and then he knew.
Oh, really?
That's how.
But so anyway, so he evidently he called an ambulance and went to St. Mary's and died at 1 o'clock. But we didn't. That was Tuesday, but we didn't hear. I didn't know until early Wednesday morning, because his daughter had called from Michigan. And anyway, but I have to tell you, so it was, and I might have mentioned this on the radio because it was so funny. I thought it was funny, unnerving, to be honest. But I was in my confessional. It was on a Sunday. This was just a few months ago. And I was in my confessional on Sunday afternoon. And so I had the penitent left. You know, I'm behind a screen, so I don't see the person. The next person that came in said, "I need your key. I need the key to your car.
That sounds like Tyrone.
I need the key to your car right away." And I said, and I recognized his voice. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I just need your key. Just give me your key. I need the key to the car." So I opened the door and I gave him the key to the car. He said, "They stole my van. They stole my van." Well, you got to know that Tyrone and his van were it was like a marriage.
Yeah.
It was an old van.
It was an old van.
Almost like the A team. They had the van.
That's right.
You didn't see one without the other.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But it was an old van, and so somebody stole it, and so I, you know, after the confessions, and I go right into the 5:30 mass. Or it was actually, I think, I take a break between the confessions in the afternoon. So I don't know if it was the first segment or the second segment. I think it was the first segment. Mm-hmm. So after the confessions, I go to the chapel and I spend about an hour there before I go back to the confessional. And then from those confessions, I go into the mass. And then I'm usually back in the confessional after the mass. So when I left at the end of the day, I went to the parlor to look out the window to see if my car was there, if he brought the car back, and there was no car.
Right.
So the next day, you know, I when I got up, I looked to see if the car was there. There's no car.
No car.
So all that, and then it was then that was Monday. So I was busy all day Monday, and I didn't need the car, but I kept looking to see if the car was there, and he didn't come in Monday. He didn't come in that Monday. And so he's got my car. So by the way, I never had his phone number. I didn't have his phone number. So then finally Tuesday, I looked and there was no car. So I thought, well, you know, he just took my car. Then he finally came in the afternoon, you know, as he normally does. And he said, "Hey, if you need your car, let me know." You know, I said,
"Cause it's mine."
I said, "Tyrone, that's my car."
That's my
car. Yeah. What do you mean? If I need it, of course I need it. I said. Uh-huh. He says, "What? I'm trying to find my van." So he's driving all over. I said, "This is Chicago," and so he's driving my car all over the city of Chicago trying to find his van.
His van. And the thing is, he did.
So he said. So I said, "Okay, go ahead and take it. You know, I don't need it today. God forbid that an emergency would come in or something." But then on Wednesday, he came in again and he says, "So if you need your car, let me know." And I said, "Well, yeah, I really do. I do need my car. I've got. He says, "Well, I've got an appointment or something."
I'll take you.
Anyway, so finally, about 4 or 5 days later, I got the car back, and then we hit the key.
Yeah.
so, But they found his van.
They did.
But and I have to tell you about my car, because I have a Yaris. It's the cheapest Toyota you can get, but it's really nice for the city, and it's it looks really small from the outside, but it's quite roomy on the inside. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You got to get rid of that car." He says, "You know, there's lights going on all over the place." He said, "You got problems with that car." Well, I said, "First of all, you've got to put your seatbelt on." You
know, right. He probably didn't do that.
If you don't put the seatbelt on, the lights, and then there's all these other lights that go on. If you get too close to there's a warning sign that goes off. And there's a light that goes on when you accelerate, yeah.
Annoying.
So he doesn't, you know.
He has an old van.
Old car. Yeah. So all I see is these flashing lights all over the place.
He's probably getting nervous.
You get problems, you know.
You got problems.
that's like, your car's got problems. You got to get rid of that car. He even picked out a new car for me. I have never stopped, but he said, "I've got the car for you, the one that you got to get, but you got to get rid of this thing. It's got all kinds of problems." But which brings me to this other story, which was kind of unrelated, actually, but this woman was got a ticket. She was speeding, right? And she got a ticket, and she told the officer, she said, he said, "What are you doing? You're like 20 miles over the speed limit." And she said, "Well, I've got this flashing light. This is warning, and I'm trying to get home before the car blows up or whatever." Anyway, but yeah, Tyrone, God rest his soul. He was a character. He was a character, but we all loved him, and this was his family, and
yeah.
He was here every day, and probably, no doubt, the oldest acting member of the parish, you know?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Because he went to school here. He was an altar boy, and he...
His parents got married here?
Parents got married here.
I'll never forget.
Irma used to cut his hair, you know?
Oh, yes, he told me. And his daughter, her daughter used to cut his hair.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Irma and the daughter.
Because the other thing, speaking about his hair, this guy had more hair than any for his age.
Blessed with so much hair.
He kind of looked like a little bit like Captain Kangaroo, right?
Yes, he did.
Perfect. Yeah.
I told him, "Where's your red suit or the jacket?"
Whatever jacket.
But I saw him, I think a week ago, Friday. See, when I came in, I thought of him because I would always see him coming into the studio, and he was showing me all his projects, what he had in lined up for the parish. Yeah.
No, he's got all kinds of things, you know, and. But boy, the stories, he would sit in my office sometimes and just tell me
so many
the stories of the, you learned so much about the old times. And
He did tell me that since he was a Marine, he said, "Oh yeah, I was in Vietnam."
Yeah.
And I was the one driving the tankers. So, yeah. And he told me, so, and I could picture him driving the tankers. And then he said, because he was a good look, he was handsome, good look when he was young. He gave me a picture when he was 17. I have it at home.
Oh, you got the picture.
I got his picture dressed in the Marine.
Oh, you should bring it for the funeral.
I should. I have to find it. But he looked very, and when he gave it to me, and I said, "Hey, Tyra, what happened to you?" He started laughing.
He
said, "Oh, when I was in the war, the Vietnam, you know, he traveled the world."
Yeah, right.
And
he
said, "All these women were hanging around me," well, because he was good looking. And he said, "And some of them, I talked about going to church," and he's like, "All I wanted was a good Catholic girl." I'll never forget that.
Right.
Good Catholic girl. I don't understand these people, why they don't go to Mass.
Yeah, and even as far as the church, you know, it was, "Oh, no, you can't do it this way. It's got to be done this way."
He was very particular on certain things that he did.
But he would say, "Well, you know, Father the Great, he said this."
Things would disappear, and we'd say, "Tyrone."
Oh, my gosh. I think he had a name for Father Eduardo, too. I can't remember what it was.
I don't know.
Yeah. He gave everybody
and Peggy, names. Peggy was Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue. Oh.
Violetta was Violin.
Violin. Yeah, he had a name for everybody. And supposedly he knew Al Capone and all these people. You know, he would tell me these stories.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Really, but the funny thing is, as I say with my father, he says, you know, "Oh, yeah, Joe, I'd say, Joe, it'd see him over there on Division Street," and I tried to calculate the age difference, you know, because my father would have been, if he were still alive, he was born in 30, so he would have been what, he died at the age of 80. He would have been 80, 90, 93.
Wow.
93. And Tyrone Tyrone was what, about 70? 71? 72?
Yes, because I couldn't believe he's younger than my dad.
Mm. Is he? Yeah.
Yeah. So dad, 76. He was like about 5 years.
Okay,
so
he's
in his
early
70,
71, 72, something like that. So it's possible he could have. Would it have been possible that he would have? I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's probably good not to go down that. Yeah. Just leave it as it is.
No, and you learn to leave it as it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, with Tyrone.
He was just
whatever.
Tyrone. But even his name, Tyrone.
Tyrone, yeah.
He was Tyrone was Polish-American, so he, Tyrone, he said the mother named him after that actor.
Tyrone Powers?
Yes, there you go.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense. Because
it's not common.
Yeah, it's not. It's common in the African-American
yes, community.
Yes, but
yeah.
Not in the...
Right.
Polish
so when you tell people about Tyrone, they assume that you're talking about an African-American.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very popular name. Very popular name. I don't know if it still is, but it was.
Sure.
In the African-American
yes.
community.
Yeah.
So, you can but, call on Tyrone.
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 Oh, man.
Where he's going to be missed.
He's really going to be missed, Tyrone.
Yeah.
Yeah, this first we really had a chance to talk about him. To be honest, he's been so busy. And it was
sure.
the first, was it? Wednesday when we all find out, it was just
it's kind of funny how days go. Because I was really, as I am when things like this happen, I just go to that dark place, and then the next day you just to laugh about this is good.
I mean, the word got out. We told parishioners, and even Marky, I sent her a message. She's in Florida,
right?
And she said, "Oh, thank you for telling me. I got to let my brother know. Bo is here, her brother." And she said, by the way, he babysat me when my mom died.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we've had a lot of tragedies here in the parish, a lot of sudden deaths in the parish, since it all really began in December, it seems to me, you know, and really some real tragedies.
Unexpected.
Yeah, really unexpected, completely unexpected.
Yes.
So people that have been very active. Mm-hmm. In the parish, but that's
life.
The reality of life. You know, it's just
I think about this too. Just in church, sometimes I don't see. I guess I'm getting older myself because I don't see the people I used to see, and that's the danger because there's no one to fill those places now.
Right,
mm-hmm. And that's and even when you think about we had the meeting on Wednesday, and I was thinking, the ministries. Who do you go to?
Mm-hmm.
The people. It's so important that new people come in. That's why I think you say it all the time. If you walk through the doors of the church, you're part of the family.
Right.
You're part of the parish.
Right. It's a different, and Christina would know this because she's worked in the office for so many years, but remember all those, the auxiliary?
Yes.
They're all gone.
All of them are gone.
There's
only a few.
There's only a few left. But the few that are left were
the younger
ones.
The younger ones.
You know, and
how that goes.
Yeah. I remember this is when I was first ordained a priest, I was at St. Hyacinth's. And so I'm newly ordained, I'm 29 years old. And they said, and that time we had probably 6 to 8 priests in the parish. 700 kids in the school, and all kinds of sodalities and different organizations, as was the case in those days in parishes. And so they said we're going to assign you to the Young Ladies Apostleship of Prayer. Young Ladies Apostleship of Prayer. So they were having their meeting. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go and introduce myself, and I went to the meeting. So they had two groups. They had the Ladies Apostleship of Prayer, and then the Young Ladies Apostleship of Prayer. So I went to the meeting, you know, to meet them, the Young Ladies Apostleship of Prayer, and they were all in their 60s. And I thought, okay, now I gotta see this Ladies Apostleship of Prayer. You know, these are the young ones, and they're all in their 60s, and I'm 29. And then I had prepared a whole, exhortation,
right.
and all that. And I started, and they said, just say on Our Father and a Hail Mary and a Glory Be, you know.
Wow.
And they wanted, and then they played their bingo and all that. It was so funny. I'll never forget.
I could just picture the ladies.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
young ladies.
Young ladies, apostles. But that's where, see, it didn't.
They started young.
It didn't generate itself. Right. Or, and this is one of the, like, as you're saying today, you know, mm-hmm. it's trying to get the young people involved. Unfortunately, the problem is, you know, before, everybody lived in the neighborhood.
Yeah, sure.
That's always been a problem.
You know, that's why, you know, these churches didn't have parking lots, and they didn't have, we were just talking about that the other day, you know, many of the churches probably didn't have bathrooms because, you know, walked a few blocks away from it.
They live right
Holy
here.
Trinity is a block away. You know, you were in St. Stan's, you were on this side of Division, mm-hmm. and east of Damon, I think, and west of or south of North Avenue. I think that was the parish boundary. Mm-hmm. And people in those days, you had to belong to the parish. You lived within those boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so in Chicago, you could, I mean, even now, you can look, I can see Holy Trinity and St. John Cantius, mm-hmm. and the like, because they're all in close proximity each other.
We always talk about this in Chicago, and it's just unique this way, how every corner had a church. Had a little candy store. I mean, right.
There was a church and a bar.
A bar, funeral home.
Yeah. A funeral home.
It's not like it anymore.
No,
Jewel came or Mariano's came, and it'd have everything.
Really hurt the neighborhoods, didn't it? You know, because you really did. Like, you had, and it's, you just go up and down Noble Street and Blackhawk, and you can see all the building. You can see they were all stores.
Yes. Yep.
So the people lived above the buildings, and you had your, like you said, your candy store. Yep.
The deli.
You had your delicatessen. Mm-hmm. You had your bar. Every corner had a bar.
There was a bar.
In fact, we're just going down memory lane, I guess, you know. What's her name?
Konechko.
I was talking to, God rest her soul,
Edith
mm-hmm. Konechko. We were talking once, and I said, you know, it was also a rough time, too, but we're going way back when. And she wasn't even Polish. She was Lithuanian.
Yes. Her husband was Polish.
Oh, her husband
was Polish, okay. Yeah.
But, so there was, you know, you
Konechko,
had
the Berlinskis.
Well, yeah, Chicago had the machine, right?
Yeah.
It still does.
Yeah.
Chicago.
It's always been, I guess all the city neighborhoods were tough neighborhoods, mm-hmm. you know, because you had to defend your turf and all that kind of stuff. And it was a different kind of gang activity, I think, you know.
Even the cops didn't want to come over here. They were afraid.
you had cops walking the street, actually.
Yeah. Remember when cops used to walk the street?
Actually, when I first got here, they had the cop that would walk the street.
I remember. There was to the neighborhood. I forgot his name because everybody knew him. He would always back and forth.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
That's right. But I asked Edith, I said, you know, you must have feared the... I forgot what it was that I said something to that effect, and she said, "Oh," she said, "No." She said, "We feared the Bushas, the grandmothers, because they would be dragging their husbands out of the bars and all that kind of
they
stuff."
They were the neighborhood watch.
They were the neighborhood watch.
The grandmothers.
Because in those days you had the the family those buildings. I think of what's her name.
Arlene Zamantis' mother.
They had
was always on the window.
Yeah,
looking up.
And they had, you know, the whole family lived in those in the buildings. You had the first floor, second floor. No, but the first floor was always either a bar or a candy store or a delicatessen, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Or a hardware
store, whatever. You didn't have to leave your neighborhood.
No.
Yeah.
And then the families all lived. The whole family lived on the floors above and behind. And behind those buildings went had apartments behind
back of them.
There were two buildings.
I couldn't believe when I first came here, because by the time I got here, it was 85%
Hispanic,
recent immigrant Hispanic, Mexican mostly. Before, I think there was a lot of Puerto Ricans.
The first families were, and
we still have, you know, I just had not too long ago a funeral of one of the first Puerto Rican families. In the area,
yeah,
the Riveras and Victor, who used to do what Nick
does.
He was part of that. He was Victor Rivera.
He was Victor Rivera.
But the But the so I remember the first night I got here in the parish. So that was the 1st of September, September 1st, it was 1990, and it was 85% recent immigrants. And I remember it was Salomon and somebody else took me through the blocks, you know, down Cleaver. It might have been your father maybe with him. I don't know. But we went and visited all these people. And yes. I couldn't believe it was such a kind of a cultural shock for me just going into these buildings. And you had these, you know, these stairwells that were really steep that would go all the way up to the third floor or whatever. Yeah. And even, when you think about it, if somebody died in the home, how they would have to bring the body down that those stairwells.
That's how our building is, where we live.
Well, you're the same. Exactly.
You still live here in the neighborhood, yeah.
Because that's the original building.
That's the original building.
Do you know what year it was built?
I know it was in the early 1900s.
Yeah, it's an old amazing. And then we had right here on the corner, Rostenkowski, mm-hmm. Congressman Rostenkowski, who lived. They just sold that building.
Yeah, they're renovating.
Not too long ago, but they lived. His father was a very powerful alderman. I think he was an alderman, and then of course, Dan Rostenkowski was the congressman, mm-hmm. and he was the what's the head congressman, Speaker of the House. He was
my brother worked for him in Washington.
That's right.
My brother was a page.
Yeah.
So we went to his office.
Yeah. I remember the funeral.
That was a big funeral.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, he was a tough man, you know. And he came after I became pastor. He came and he says, "Listen, I want that clock fixed. It's not. By the way, we should get that clock on the tower. Mm-hmm. What's it gonna? You know, it's very straightforward. Mm-hmm. You know, almost intimidating." Listen, I want that clock fixed. Here's the money. Take it. I want it repaired. I want it, to tell the correct time. So, okay, yes, sir. I do.
And he was used to giving orders.
Yeah.
And he was well known, well respected in Congress.
Yeah.
Mr. Congressman.
He was Speaker of the House.
Yes, he was
one of the most powerful members of the government at that time. So. Anyway, didn't they have the Democratic Convention or there's something here in the school?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we had this huge school that had a grand hall, and this is before my time, but you would remember the school.
I've heard that, yeah. I've heard that being the case.
If I mention...
You mean the old school?
The old school.
Oh, that was... And Rostenkowski was there with his wife when they had those big dinners and
events.
Yeah,
it's a huge hall. Who was it? A great pianist did a concert there. They had all kinds of events here. But
I vaguely remember the school. I was there for, I think, 1 year, the old school.
If I mention Whitey, do you know if I...
Whitey is, yes.
That
rings a bell. That's way before my time.
This was a guy that lived in the school after the school was abandoned.
Whitey. Yeah.
Because when I got here, this is as a seminarian, not as a priest, mm-hmm. but I used to be a janitor at Christmas and Easter. Then one summer, maybe two summers, I don't remember, I would come here as a seminarian and work as a janitor.
That's where Tyrone met you, right?
He remembers me from those days, with my red hair, you know, long red hair.
Where does he get the red hair?
I don't know. He's confusing him with something else.
But there was the guy Whitey, lived in the school.
Yeah.
The school was already, at that point, the grade school had already moved to the high school.
Yeah.
And so we used to always take food for Whitey, and people remember him. Or the old timers would remember him, but they had the carnivals and all that, and it was.
Life was
simpler. Was much simpler.
Yeah. The church was the center of
the church
everyone's
was the center,
lives.
Right? Okay. So having said that, let it be a light Friday, okay?
We're reminiscing.
Because
good old days.
Can relate, but. When at the meeting the other night at Angelic, we had a really nice group, and it was amazing because it's the first time we've all come together mm-hmm. since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And So we went around in the beginning so everybody could reintroduce themselves, because there are a lot of, they're coming from different, so yeah. we've got six masses right. on Sunday, counting the Saturday mass. So these are heads of different ministries and, you know, choir, lectors, commentators, and deacons, and catechists, and all that. And so as we're choir people, as we're going around, what was amazing was, so it was first, just named some of the, so Angelica, she talked about how long she's been in the neighborhood, and I had her wedding. I said, I had your wedding, right? You and Tony, And she, of course, she said some very wonderful things about you, Tony.
Yeah, I've heard.
I said, I'm going to tell Tony.
Yeah, because, I told her.
So I said, Angelica, I had your wedding. And then there was, but anyway, the point was, it was Angelica, and then it was Hugo and Nayeli. I had their wedding.
Yep.
That was the first wedding after the pandemic. So that's a young couple. And then, Michael and Lauren, I had their wedding. That was the second wedding after the pandemic. Then, as we're going around, Arminda and Jorge, I had their wedding. And then Diana Perez, I had her wedding. Her husband died very young, but I had their wedding. There were so many. Oscar
Olivares.
I had his wedding.
Just kept going down the line.
Alfredo, I had his wedding.
Valentin.
But anyway, just I couldn't, you know, as we went around, it was amazing. I had all these weddings, you know. Some of them go way back. Maria Gutierrez and David
had their wedding. And you even said the late deacon, Raquel Garcia, you had their 50th wedding.
Right. Raquel said, and you had my wedding as well. And I said, wait a minute, you know.
I'm going.
Because you're quite a bit older than I am. And because there was a couple, Moises and Laura, they got married later.
They got later in life.
But I had their 50th. She said, you had my 50th, our 50th. Because they came from Mexico the same year that I came to the parish.
That's right, yes. Yeah. I'd like to mention it. A lot of these couples, most of the couples met here in the parish, in the ministries.
Well, because in those days we had, the church, like you said, was the center of the neighborhood. And when I got here, before I was a pastor, we had gang problems in the neighborhood, but we also had and to keep the kids off the street, we had drama.
Yeah.
And we had 300 kids in the catechetical program. And we had the young adult group, and that's where all these people
met.
So Elizabeth and Eve were here on Sunday because they came in from Texas.
Oh, for a funeral,
I had their
right?
wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They and what's his name? Elizabeth. You know who?
Yeah,
that was your neighbor.
Yeah, exactly.
Elizabeth
and
Arroyo, Hector,
and Hector. Hector.
Hector.
Yeah. Hector didn't come up, but he. And he's a grandfather now.
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I
can.
Very
young.
So if he's listening, because he, even from Texas, listens to the radio, so congratulations. But I can't, that doesn't compute in my head that he's a grandfather, because I remember when he was a kid in the school here.
Well, my dad saw him. There was a funeral. Somebody died in the family.
Erica, the niece.
Oh, no, but this was back in March Lent. Oh, Ash Wednesday, actually. In Texas.
Oh, okay.
There was a family member. I forgot who, but my dad said there was a lot of family and parishioners that moved to Texas.
Yeah,
especially the Villegas family.
Well, Homero and Aurora, I had their wedding, and their Homero's sister died. I wonder if that was the one.
No, it was somebody else. It was a man. It was an older person, but from the families that were talking, Hector. My dad saw him, and he said he gave him a big hug.
Hector came in?
Hector lives. They were there at the funeral in Texas.
Oh, your father went to Texas?
He went to Texas.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh.
And Liz and Evan, well, they live over there.
Yeah,
yeah. So somebody in the family, these are huge families.
Huge families. And that's the other thing. They were all huge families.
Yeah. Yes.
Like even Sylvia, she's one of, her mother just died. They just had the funeral, and she's one of 11 children.
Yes.
So these were all huge families. So there's and what they do. So a lot of them came from Michoacan, but also from other
parts of Mexico.
Parts of Mexico. You know, actually, when I got here, I thought, is there anybody in Michoacán? Is there, because in Balcones.
They're all over here.
In Balcones. Yeah.
Balcones.
Because it's a lot of them were from Balcones. Eventually, I got down there. It's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful to drive from Morelia to Michoacán. Your uncle has his big house down there.
Right out of Morelia. Morelia.
I stayed there. But we had taken the 5-hour drive up through the mountains to Balcones, and they pointed out, Mateo, your dad was pointing out everybody from the parish. So this family lived here, and that family lived there, and this family lived in San Diego and all that kind of stuff. But it was beautiful. But through the mountains, just gorgeous. And even Balcones, when we went there, they had no electricity, and it was very primitive. Now they do, but it was very primitive. It's coming down the mountain. We were coming down the mountain just to tell you how primitive things were still. And this was only, maybe 13 years ago that we were there. But we were coming down the mountain in the car. And it was like an SUV or something.
SUV.
Yeah. And there was a woman on a horse. And she had her baby strapped to the front of her, like one of those wraps.
The
baby in front and then a rifle against her back.
Nice. Yes.
You know, I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't want to.
Probably my dad has a picture.
Maybe.
Dad takes pictures of
anyway. Well, we better take it.
That's what Angelica would always scare me when we were younger.
Well, she's from Michoacán.
Yeah.
She's from Michoacán.
She would tell me that her mom knows how to shoot a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were younger,
you
that was something I was always afraid of. And so this day, I'm still afraid.
And that's what keeps you...
keeps me on the straight and narrow.
When you're down there. Or here.
The mother.
Here
and the mother.
Yeah, Angelica's mom.
The mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Tony's like, from... We always say Tony's from Jalisco.
Jalisco. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, that's... because she just got back from there. From Michoacán.
Yes.
I didn't even ask her how the trip went.
Well, she had some beautiful videos posted. Yeah,
everybody else sees these except for me.
But it's beautiful, and the traditions, yeah. the culture.
Right. It's always good when she goes because her mom and dad were there. So.
They were there. Yeah,
it kind of worked out good compared to my problems of not getting out there. But that's just.
It probably worked it out that way.
Yeah, I think she did it on purpose, personally.
She wanted a peaceful trip.
Yeah, she wanted a peaceful trip.
Actually, I think you might be right about that. After she spoke
Go
about...
Go back and tell her that, Father.
Spoke about you at
How
meeting,
nicely she spoke about
In the presence
me, right?
of everybody, you know?
So yeah.
Angelica, I said, I can't believe you're saying these things, you know? And I'm going to tell Tony, you know?
I called her up yesterday and I said, oh. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, Father told you? And I said, yeah.
She said, Tony knows.
Tony knows.
Because I said, we need more ushers. And she said, I tell Tony that
it's my fault.
Because Tony's an usher. And he just doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my life. Yeah, so let's sit down.
So it's really fun.
It's always my fault.
Anyway. That was
all your husbands learned that.
Yeah, oh, but Father, right. I have a question. You were mentioning about the young ladies or the...
Apostles,
that they're in their 60s. How about the other ones? How old were they? The ladies.
The first ones.
Well,
were they like in their 90s or
80s?
That's my question.
To be honest, they were older than 60. Let me just say, they had to be in their 70s or 80s,
okay.
You know.
So it was like one or two, and then the young ones were like six?
Well, no, there were quite a few. There were actually quite a few, but they, you know, they, it all happens as it happens, as we're all going to know. And that's why I say we go back to the earlier days when we were young, and you're still young, Christina, you're like 20 years younger than I am, or maybe more than 20 years younger.
Yeah, 21, I think.
But the point is, you started here working as a child, high school.
Baptized.
You've been here all your life. And then went to school here.
This has been my life.
This is your whole life. But when you started working, all those people that were part of the auxiliary, it's like it's almost like overnight they all went. They were gone.
Yeah.
You know? I don't mean gone like they disappeared. They died.
They died.
Yeah.
I think of Edith. You mentioned Edith Konechko. When you opened the church, the doors were open for 24-hour adoration. And Edith started coming, but she would come during the night.
Yeah.
And I would ask her, Edith, aren't you afraid? What if somebody comes and or when you're walking home or back and forth? they try to do something to, she's like, I'm not worried. If they try something funny, I'll take care of them myself.
Yeah, no, they were
tough.
A tough group.
That was a tough group.
Those women. I mean, I just.
It was the, yeah. those were the that you had yeah. to you know the streets toughened you up, didn't they?
Yes,
you
know, they did.
Paterona, I think of Paterona.
Paterona.
Yeah. I just
Tony,
I,
what we're survivors because Tony grew up in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's yeah. right.
You even have the accent.
Yeah,
the,
I guess so.
The
yeah.
Chicago accent.
Chicago. Sausage.
Sausage.
That's what Evie and Elizabeth said. No, they're coming back to Chicago eventually.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, they said so.
Oh wow,
yeah.
They probably miss. Yeah, well, this is home.
Because I said you guys are Texans now, and
I want to go to Texas, but the way it's looking, it's you know I don't think I could.
Yeah,
I love Chicago.
Chicago.
Well, anyway, all right. So let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll pray the litany to the Holy Spirit, which we should have done
at the beginning.
In the beginning, but this was
carried away.
Sometimes you got to have you know it's because life is, you know, things are heavy.
Yeah.
The world is pretty heavy today, and. You know, I have to be quite honest, you know, even in preparing homilies and letters and all that, I always feel like it's because I feel like I have to deal with reality, and reality is not pleasant these days.
No.
And I don't want to, you know, I want to be honest with the people because we really need conversion.
Sure.
We need conversion, metanoia. I mean, again, being with the eighth graders the other day, it's just they're such good kids, and they're. I said, you guys are, you know, you're graduating, you're going out there. He says, you're really going to be up against the world, because in many ways, you know, they're well protected mm-hmm. in our school, and the fact, you know, God bless their families for making the sacrifice, bringing them into our schools, because at least our school, the Catholic schools, we, you know, we don't allow that kind of nonsense into sure. the into the school, and you know, it's our kids are there's an innocence about them, a real yeah, innocence
is.
About them,
there is.
And
that's why you know one of the saints, I don't know which one, there's so many saints, but from the saints from back then, they said that God will raise greater saints in this
in the
time.
Latter days,
yes,
in these times, you
yes.
know. All right, everybody, we'll take a break. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org.
www.thewindsofchange.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony. I'm Winds of Change, and let's pray, okay? We got 10 minutes, and we're in. We celebrated the Feast of the Ascension. I shared that with you yesterday, and today begins the Novena to the Holy Spirit. So this is where we get the Novena, 9 days, where the apostles, as I said, they were bewildered, confused, disoriented, because Jesus had been taken from their sight, and he was the glue that held them together. And they went, Scripture says, they went with the Blessed Virgin Mary into the cenacle, and they prayed for 9 days. And then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given, and they were infused with the very life of God. And in a sense, the illumination, they understood, and they began then the mission. And this is where you just see this dramatic change in Peter. You read that in the Acts of the Apostles, and it's a radically different Peter than the Peter in the Gospels, because he is most definitely speaking with authority, and authority he didn't have in the Gospels, designated by Christ as the head of the church, the first of the 12. Of course, Judas sold him out. But let's I'm going to pray the Novena to the Holy Spirit, and then we'll do the Litany to the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, we'll be able to do this before the end of the hour. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Holy Spirit, O my God, I adore thee, and acknowledge here in thy divine presence that we are nothing, and we can do nothing without you. Come, great Paraclete, thou Father of the poor, thou Comforter, the best, fulfill the promise of our blessed Savior, who would not leave us orphans, and came into the mind and the heart of thy poor, unworthy creatures. As thou didst descend on the sacred day of Pentecost on the Holy Mother of Jesus and on his first disciples, grant that we may participate in those gifts that thou didst communicate to them so wonderfully and with so much mercy and generosity. Take from our hearts whatever is not pleasing to thee, and make of them a worthy dwelling place for thyself. Illumine our minds, that we may see and understand the things that are for our eternal good. Inflame our hearts with pure love of thee, that we may be cleansed from the dross of all inordinate attachments, and that our whole lives may be hidden with Jesus in God. Strengthen our will, that we may be made conformable to thy divine will and be guided by thy holy inspirations. Aid us by thy grace to practice the divine lessons of humility, poverty, obedience, and contempt of the world, which Jesus taught us in his mortal life. That would be the world that does not acknowledge God. O rend the heavens and come down, consoling spirit, that inspired and encouraged by thee, we may faithfully comply with the duties of our state, carry our daily cross most patiently, and endeavor to accomplish the divine will with the utmost perfection. Spirit of love, Spirit of purity, Spirit of peace, sanctify our souls more and more, and give us that heavenly peace which the world cannot give. Bless our Holy Father, the Pope, bless the Church, bless our bishops, our priests, all religious orders, bless our families, bless all the faithful, that they may be filled with the Spirit of Christ and labor earnestly for the spread of his kingdom. O Holy Spirit, thou giver of every good and perfect gift, grant us, we beseech thee, the intentions of this novena. May thy will be done in us and through us. Mayest thou be praised and glorified forevermore. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Divine Essence, one true God,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of truth and wisdom,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of holiness and justice,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of understanding and counsel,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of love and joy,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of peace and patience,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of longanimity and meekness,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of benignity, I'm sorry, and goodness,
have mercy on us.
Love substantial, the Father and the Son,
have mercy on us.
Love and life of saintly souls,
have mercy on us.
Fire ever burning,
have mercy on us.
Living water to quench the thirst of hearts,
have mercy on us.
From all evil, deliver us, O Holy Spirit. From all impurity of soul and body, deliver us, O Holy Spirit. From all gluttony and sensuality,
deliver us, O Holy Spirit.
From all attachments to the things of the earth,
deliver us, O Holy Spirit.
From all hypocrisy and pretense,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From all imperfections and deliberate faults,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From our own will,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From slander,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From deceiving our neighbors,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From our passions and disorderly appetites,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From our inattentiveness to thy holy inspirations,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From despising little things,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From debauchery and malice,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From love of comfort and luxury,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From wishing to seek or desire anything other than thee,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From everything that displeases thee,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
Most loving Father, forgive us. Divine Word, have pity on us. Holy and Divine Spirit, leave us not until we are in possession of the Divine Essence, heaven and heaven of heavens. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, send us the Divine Consoler. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, fill us with the gifts of thy Spirit. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, make the fruits of the Holy Spirit increase within us. Come, O Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of the faithful, grant us by the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful litany. How do you benignity?
Benignity.
Benignity. Is that how you pronounce that? Benignity. Well, yeah. So this is. Anyway, we're out of time. I just don't want to say anything else. I think we're done. Let's just be disposed and be receptive, and really call upon the Holy Spirit to not only renew our lives, but renew the life of the church and bring the world to its senses. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace.
Amen.
Be with you, child.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide the wind.